I know I've said this before, so some of you will know that this is my favorite funeral psalm. Favorite, at least partially, because it's not the 23rd psalm, and I get a break for that one, from that one. That is the most popular funeral psalm. It's the one I've chosen for my own funeral. God knows if they're actually going to listen to that, but it's what's on my funeral plans. This past week, I was with Dr. Scott Hahn and his a group of co-workers in the St. Paul Center in Austin for one of their three annual priest conferences. And it's totally overwhelming. So these last few years, I come back with something that sticks with me for the whole of the year or more. And this year, I think it's just a little bit different because the theme that came up a lot was covenant. It was supposed to be on prophecy and typology. That was the theme of the week. But as he often admits, you can't put a microphone in front of Dr. Hahn and not talk about covenant. Now, he would have found that a very funny joke. Okay. Here's what covenant means. And it's going to sound familiar to you because these are themes that I hit on often, but I don't necessarily talk about it being covenant. Of course, when we use the word covenant, the thing that should come to our mind immediately is the covenant of holy matrimony, marriage. And the whole idea of covenant is this is a willed reality. It's a reality created by will, not by nature, in which a new family bond is established where there was not one before. Okay. So, the covenant with us, okay, not the old covenant, but the new covenant, between God and man, is sealed on Good Friday. That's the sacrifice. And the fruit of it is Easter Sunday, the resurrection. This is actually a very, very simple concept. God wishes to join himself to us. That was always plan A. We can look at the crucifixion and go, wow, that was such an awful plan B. We really messed things up. No. God's plan was always to establish the new covenant between himself and us. It takes the form of the sacrifice because of the original sin. The covenant between God and man would probably have been a whole lot less violent if Adam and Eve had never sinned, but it would still have happened. Jesus didn't die because the Romans captured him. Jesus died because he laid down his life and was willing to do so, thus providing the pattern for all of us to live out the covenant between God and man. And that extends the way that we relate to the Lord and the way that we relate to each other. Because no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friends. So there are three ways in which the covenant is sealed with you. In baptism, we become adopted by God the Father. We become part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. It's a covenant of marriage, covenant of adoption. And the third one, now, nobody ever says this, so maybe it's a stretch, but if it helps you, roll with it, and if it doesn't help you, then ignore it. I think the last, because one of the other things that happens in baptism is the Holy Spirit starts to dwell in us. And that's not a formal covenant, as might have been established in the natural world, but it does have a really important analog that is in the natural world. It's just not a covenant, but it feels like it. And that is of deep friendship. Imagine your best friend could say or do things that nobody else would. They have permission for that stuff. Okay? And you would not get angry. But they could also do things that if anybody else had done it, you'd have been, whatever. You know, if Susie at Starbucks forgets your birthday, who cares? But if your best friend doesn't remember your birthday, betrayal, right? Is there a covenant there? No, but it's real close. And when the Holy Spirit starts to dwell in us, God desires to be our friend. Jesus says as much. I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. Now, of all three of these relationships, the one that we have to work on the hardest is the friendship one, right? Because out of the other three, I mean, technically the marriage requires some amount of effort. But, I mean, once you're married, right? Once you're baptized, right? Once you're adopted, you're adopted. And there's no undoing that. But to keep a friend, you got to work at it. Now, the good news here is, unlike friendship and unlike earthly marriage, where both parties really got to work at it, you're guaranteed of one thing in the divine human relationship. It's only you that's got to work at it. Now, that sounds harsh, but that means, you know, that's the goofy way of saying it, right? What it really means is you can count that the Lord is not going to give up on you. You may give up on the Lord. You may turn your face. You may stop praying. You may reject the covenant, but God will not. Which means, even when we do that stupidity, the other party in our covenant is waiting with open arms for us to come back to him.